We'll talk about a shocker. The global accounting and consultancy firm PwC is estimating that the South African economy could have grown close to 7% last year were it not for the curse of load shedding. And you know the three widows of regret, don't you? Could have, should have, and would have. If only we had fixed South Africa's power crisis when it emerged, when we knew as early as the early 2000s that we would run out by 2008 and we'd taken steps to address it then, but we didn't. We messed it up. And for the last 15 years, we've been fiddling as Rome, as Eskom has burnt practically to the ground. It means power shortages are costing the economy about 5 percentage points and lost gross domestic product. It's an astonishing number. Let's talk to Dr. Christy Viljoen. Christy is the senior economist at PwC. Now, how do you get to a number? We haven't grown at 7% since the 1960s, and that was during a time of extraordinary expansion when the National Party government was investing heavily in infrastructure and in state-owned enterprises, and we grew at an average 6.9% through the 1960s. We haven't grown at 7% since then. So what gives you the authority and the conviction to say we lost 7% potentially of economic growth last year, Christy?
Well, yes, it's a big number, and I agree most numbers out there would be much smaller. I think it emphasizes the big picture of what load shedding is costing us. It's not just shops closing down or factories closing down for a bit here, but there, or actually very frequently, more several times a day. It is a big combination of business confidence that's keeping local and foreign investment away. It's consumers not being able to spend because they're not sure where their next paycheck might be coming from. So we took a big picture approach. We looked at some of what the academic research says about what the impact is. We also had to think about how the economy actually sort of adjusting. We're seeing some resilience, especially big corporations, wealthy households installing renewable energy. So there's a bit of a counterbalance as well. But we have to realize that the majority of people in South Africa, the majority of households, the majority of small businesses, they cannot afford alternative methods of electricity, whether it's solar panels or burning diesel generators, for example. So yes, it's a big number, but I think it's part of the key message that as an emerging market, South Africa's growth potential is huge. We're seeing emerging markets growing at 6, 7, 8% per year. And last year, we still had potential for sort of like post-pandemic dividend. You talked about tourism just before this call, and there's lots of tourism that could have happened, but there are also lots of hotels that couldn't necessarily take bookings because tourists were afraid, well, is the electricity going to be on? Is it really going to be a fun December holiday if I don't have electricity? It's hot, I need some air conditioning. So yes, I admit, it's a big number, but it's part of the big narrative. But this is a huge, huge problem.
No, exactly. It's the loss of potential, isn't it? It's where we second-guess our decisions. Should I expand my factory? Well, I can't expand my factory because I don't have enough electricity. Well, I've got a potential market in Asia for my widget or my ice cream in America that I make at Gqeberha or whatever the case might be. I've got export markets. But if I can't guarantee that I can keep the fridges on, my ice cream is going to melt and I'm going to have to throw it away. So therefore, I'm going to wait until there's energy certainty before making an investment. And it's the loss of that kind of potential that is so devastating.
And the money that then needs to go towards this alternative energy. Now, if you look at, for example, last year, South Africa imported about 5 billion rands worth of solar panels. And that's the way the companies are coping. They're putting solar panels on factory roofs, shopping malls, and some households as well. That money has gone overseas because we import these products. If we could invest them locally, buy locally, or do a different kind of investment, you'd have all kinds of multiplier effects, GDP, to jobs, to tax. So it's those benefits that we could have seen from maybe expanding a factory, local benefits, but now we have to import these solar panels from abroad. So it's a way for companies to cope, to stay open. But it also means that money that we could have invested more, maybe more productively, has actually left the country, which is part of that sort of lost amount of GDP. We could have had multiplier effects, but we're not seeing those.
Is there a tipping point at some point, Christy, where we imported so many solar panels and so many blades for the big propellers that generate electricity from wind, and we've invested so much in alternative energy provision that eventually it starts to pay off and we start getting perhaps an incremental improvement in growth at some point in the future?
I think what happened was, if you look at the GDP and employment numbers for the third quarter of last year, those are the latest numbers we've seen. Both of those results were better than expected. And a lot of analysts are saying that is because we are becoming a bit more resilient. If you think about how much renewable energy we have in the country, sort of installed capacity at the moment, there are set stages of load shedding that's currently being avoided because of private sector investment in these. So we're already actually seeing that benefit because we are not getting higher than, well, at present, getting higher than a certain stage six, if you want to call it that way. So there's already benefits. We saw better than expected job creation last year. We probably added more than 1 million jobs to the economy last year because we are seeing companies and households adapting. It is expensive, yes, and people need to shift money around, but we are seeing those incremental improvements. It's already making our economy a bit more resilient against the power crisis.
And that's fine for wealthy households and powerful corporates that have got the capacity to shift budgets and to spend in different areas. They can spend the 5 billion rand on solar panels. The vast majority of micro enterprises, small businesses, households don't have the capacity to invest in alternative power sources. And again, they're a smaller part of the overall economy, but this is where the danger lies, isn't it? If Eskom can't provide the base load, this economy struggles and keeps struggling for the next decade or more.
But that's true. So our biggest concern is the small businesses. That's where most of the jobs in the country come from. If you look globally, it's not big corporates, it's not public sector that create most of the jobs. It's small businesses, it's entrepreneurs, it's those one, two, three people working for a little company. That's the job drivers that we need. And the small businesses cannot afford to import solar panels, or they cannot afford a generator because you have to keep putting fuel in, for example. And that's why it's important that the overall challenge of load shedding is still addressed. We're going to see time and time again in the months and quarters to come, companies start coming out, big organizations saying they spent several millions on the installation of renewable power, for example. So they're continuing with their operations, but it's those small businesses that rely on the overall challenge of load shedding being reduced. Obviously, we are encouraged by comments, hopefully within the next few weeks, from maybe the State of the Nation address, maybe the budget speech, or maybe something even before that about a bigger drive to address load shedding, whatever that might be, coming from maybe the presidency.
At the risk of getting you into trouble, is the state of, I want to call it emergency, but it's not that, state of disaster regulation that the ANC seems to be addicted to as a solution to the problem of load shedding, is it something that you can see the benefit of?
Well, we have to think about the basic concept of a state of disaster. We saw this during COVID. It's sort of an emergency situation where it gives government the ability to make decisions quickly. It gives them the ability to move money around more quickly. So if that is implemented correctly and we can see, you know, practical, tangible things happening that means that keep power stations running for longer, that give us the ability to maybe have more diesel available to run those systems. If those practical things happen, then we can get excited. So hopefully that we can see something practical. If we stick to the normal plans and the normal ideas of how to fix load shedding, it's not very exciting because we've had these ideas and plans for quite some time. And when you get to stage six, you realize that probably these things haven't worked. So that's why holding thumbs, crossing fingers, tipping your hat, whatever everybody would do for a bit of good luck, that's what we're hoping to happen very, very soon.
Dr. Christy Viljoen, thank you. PwC Senior Economist Christy Viljoen this evening. Yeah. New big bold ideas, not more of the same. What I mean, there's so many sayings around this. You can't expect different outcomes if you keep doing things the same way. If you keep doing things, you can't expect things to change. There's something along those lines.